Well, good morning, everyone. I want to welcome you again to South Lansing Christian Church. I'm Walter. I'm the teaching and small groups minister here, and it's Serve Month here at South, and we're super excited about that. We've got a lot going on. We've got some ministry opportunities for you all. You know, serving is something that is so essential to being a follower of Jesus. Here at South, it's part of our trifecta. We think that the healthiest followers of Jesus are those who seek God, who study God, and who serve God. And so all month long, we'll be going out into our community and serving our neighbors, our coworkers. We're specifically focusing as a church on a few different projects. One is with Lansing City Rescue Mission, one is with Advent House, and one is with Homeless Angels. And on Sunday, April 28, we're not going to have church like this. We're going to meet here, and then we're going to go out of these walls and go serve together. And so Abakuk is going to be sharing a little bit more about that at the end of our service today, but we need you to sign up and be part of this, because we are committing to doing some big things for these organizations, and we sink or swim based on how much God's people show up. So I expect that you all will show up. I'm excited about it. It's going to be a great month. Well, one more thing that we're going to be doing is if you or someone you know needs some help with like a home maintenance issue or cleaning up for spring, you know, doing some rain gutters or fixing something in your house, we want to send a couple teams out to be good neighbors as well. And so we need those projects. So stop by this morning and sign up for one of those projects in the table in the back in the lobby. Because the sooner that we know what we need to do, the sooner we can prepare to help. So again, I'm super excited about this. God's people serving is going to be incredible, and I'm glad that you're along with us on this journey to make a difference in the Lansing area. To be honest, though, I'm a little bit nervous. And I'm not nervous that you won't all show up, because I know you will, because God's people have responded and shown up time and time again. I'm nervous, I'm a little worried, because sometimes when we do things like serve, we don't necessarily do them for the right reasons. And so sometimes when we go out and serve, instead of doing things to serve others or to glorify Jesus, sometimes we have a habit of using these as opportunities to improve ourselves or maybe to improve our reputation. Here's kind of how I see that playing out. When I was a kid back on the farm, I became the master of looking busy. Some of you know how that works, right? What it's like to look busy. And the example I think of, you'll all relate to this really, really well, is rock picking. I know everyone here has done rock picking before. What happens in rock picking is your dad goes out and he tills up the field, and as he tills it up, rocks, they turn over and they're on the surface, and those rocks get in the way of the planting and harvesting equipment. And so as he's driving the nice air-conditioned tractor, he sends you and your brother out with a skid loader or a backhoe to walk up and down the field and pick up rocks. One of you gets to drive, one of you has to pick up the rocks. It's totally unfair. When you're where dad can see you, man, you are busy and diligent, and you are putting those rocks in that bucket. But, you know, when you get a little farther away from the farm, you're over the hill or back around a bend, or dad's off in another field, well, you might sit down for a minute or 30 and goof off for a little while. And you know, honestly, it's fairly innocent as a kid. We were just kids. We were working. We worked hard most of the time. We took breaks. It wasn't a big deal. But there's something about that desire to be seen by others, right? To do things so that when others look at you, they admire you or they think more highly of you and the job you're doing than you really deserve. That kind of, it's a tendency that I think all of us share to some extent. And I think when it comes to serving, we can be the same way. Sometimes we have a desire to be seen rather than to be effective. And sometimes I think those feelings motivate us in ways that they shouldn't. And so how all this connects to serve this month is that we need to very carefully examine our motivations as we step out of this building. As we serve together, it's not just about what we do, but it's about how we do it as well. And so as we go out this month, don't think of this as a way to embellish your reputation or your standing or even to promote our church, because that's not what we're about here. And in fact, if we go out this month and none of what we do ends up on your personal social media or your college entrance essay or your community service hours record, I honestly think that might be for the best. Because when it comes right down to it, as a follower of Jesus, serving is not about you. Serving is not about you. We're going to talk about that a little bit more in depth today. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20, we're going to encounter a couple people who really wanted to make things all about them. In fact, they were destined to rise to greatness in this Jesus organization. And on their way there, they sent their mom to make a request of Jesus. So Matthew chapter 20, starting in verse 20. Then the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus with her sons. She knelt respectfully to ask a favor. "What is your request?" he asked. She replied, "In your kingdom, please let my two sons sit in places of honor next to you, one on your right and the other on your left." These guys, can you imagine being the other disciples? These guys, they wanted something from Jesus. Not a big deal, Jesus. You know, just the most important places of honor in your kingdom. You know, just right next to you. And, oh, we aren't brave enough to talk to you about this ourselves, so we're going to send our mommy to do our work for us. Imagine if you were another disciple in this moment, how you would have felt. I think indignant is the word, right? Think about the times when you felt indignant in your life. Somebody tries to ask for something they don't deserve, or to step up by stepping over you and pushing you down in the process. Maybe it's at your workplace. Maybe one of your coworkers was promoted to management. And before this, you know, you and they were on good terms and maybe friends even. But now, you know, they're at a different level and things get awkward and weird. Or maybe it's not that. Maybe it's just you found out that a coworker asked for a raise and received it. They do the same job as you, but now they're getting paid more for the exact same work. Indignant. That's how I would have felt if I were one of the disciples. If I were Peter, Andrew, Bartholomew, Judas, all the rest of these guys, I would have been pretty upset. And I think you see that play out in this passage. Verse 22. But Jesus answered by saying to them, "You don't know what you are asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering that I am about to drink?" "Oh, yes," they replied, "we are able." Jesus told them, "You will indeed drink from my bitter cup, but I have no right to say who will sit on my right or my left. My Father has prepared those places for the one he has chosen." All right, well, James and John weren't lacking in ambition and maybe confidence, and at least this time they answered for themselves instead of sending their mom. "Yeah, Jesus, you've talked about this suffering thing for a while, but it can't be as bad as you're letting on, and beyond all that, you know, a little sacrifice on the journey, it's totally worth it. No pain, no gain, right?" I'm not so sure that James and John had really carefully been listening to Jesus, right? Their eyes were on the prize, at least as they saw it, and they were ready to go through some stuff, I guess. In their minds, if there was going to be some difficulty, it would be worth getting there, because imagine sitting by a king. I had one of our deacons, Justin Lundy, make this with some AI this week. This is kind of what I imagine James and John are thinking of. Just don't look at the fingers on these guys. Things are getting a little weird there. But, you know, James and John have this picture of grandeur and power and authority. And, you know, they're going to be sitting right next to Jesus. Imagine all the people looking at you and being envious of your position. Imagine having all of your needs met because you were the most important. Well, I mean, Jesus was the most important, but you were right there with him. Imagine all these eyes on you, envious of you, all the things that you want taken care of because you were right next to the king. In some ways, James and John were maybe already making things about themselves. In some ways, these sons of thunder were maybe part of the whole Jesus operation because of what they saw him offering, a way to overthrow the Romans and to make this kingdom, to establish this kingdom here on earth. But Jesus warns his followers. He warns James and John of two things. First, he is not going to give them. He doesn't have the say over who sits by his right, who sits on his right and on his left. And second, there's suffering instead of grandeur here. Verse 24. When the 10 other disciples heard what James and John had asked, they were indignant. Relatable. Verse 25, but Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and the officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and give his life as a ransom for many. So Jesus comes along and he puts a smack down on his disciples. Oh, James and John, you want to be great? You're going to have to serve and suffer. Oh, and for the rest of you, all indignant at James and John, the same goes for you too, right? But then notice what he says in verse 26. He says, but among you, it will be different. This isn't a request. This isn't a question. This is a statement of fact. This is Jesus defining reality. Out there, outside of the kingdom of God, man, it's all about power and ambition and climbing up to more and more importance and wealth and status. But among you, it will be different. Inside of God's kingdom, things are different. And those who want to be the greatest should be the servant of all. And Jesus goes further and says, whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave. And I don't know about you, but that sounds perhaps less exciting than being a ruler or being the person who sits beside a ruler. You know, for a ruler, all authority is theirs, but a slave has to do what they're told. A ruler has autonomy and possessions and wealth, and a slave's got none of that. A ruler is admired maybe, but at least envied. And a slave, they exist out of sight, out of mind. A ruler, they've got self-determination, they've got riches, property, food. A slave has nothing. A ruler is in the foreground at all times, but a slave goes and serves in the background. And Jesus says, whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave. Look, we could go on, but I think you get it. The disciples probably got it too, right? They thought they had signed up for this journey straight to the top. And instead, Jesus offers them a life of service, a life of living in the background. They thought they were going to be the best, the greatest, the most important. And instead, Jesus tells them to go serve one another. They were finding out that serving is not about them, just like the kingdom of God is not about them. Instead, they found themselves called to the life of service. You know, Jesus gives these standards for his followers. Back then, he's talking to his disciples. Whoever wants to be great among you must be a servant of all. The standards continue to apply to us today. It's the same way. In God's kingdom today, we are called to service. And Jesus himself here, he uses this label, the Son of Man, right? In verse 28, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and give his life as a ransom for many. When it comes to you and me and how we live out this life of service, I think following Jesus' example is where it starts. Another description of what Jesus did for us is found in Philippians chapter 2. It's one of my favorite verses, passages of all time. Philippians chapter 2. Turn with me there. Philippians 2 verse 5 says this: you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges and he took the humble position of a slave. And he was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. And Philippians 2 continues on. It's this ancient hymn that the church recited or sung together before probably the rest, any of the New Testament really was written. And so if you want a passage of Scripture that holds some of the core truths of what we believe to commit to memory, man, Philippians 2, 5 through 11 is this. But as to what it says about Jesus, he was God. He had everything, all authority, all power, everything belonged to him, and yet he chose to give this up. He came and he humbled himself and he served. And he chose to serve you and me. And look, God saw the state of human affairs and knew that we were cut off from him, destined for destruction, nothing that we could do about it on our own. And because of that, He looked at that and he sent his son Jesus, who served his followers and then laid his life down as a sacrifice so that you and I could be right with God. Jesus didn't come and make it all about himself. Jesus came and did things like wash his disciples' feet and spent time with the outcasts in society. Jesus came and offered himself for us. And so just like Jesus came and chose to serve us instead of making it about himself, I believe that when we go out this month as the church, we need to continually remind ourselves that serving is not about us. It's not about us. So what does that look like when we go out? What does it look like when we go out of this place and we try to follow Jesus' pattern and make serving not about us, but about glorifying God and making a difference in our community? Well, I think we have to consider two things. What are we doing, and why are we doing it? As far as what we're doing, sometimes I think we make this whole idea of serving too complicated. And we sometimes make it too much about ourselves. And here's what I mean by that. Sometimes we look at the overwhelming amount of needs out there and we say, man, it's daunting. I don't know where to begin. I don't know how to help. I don't have enough time. I wouldn't even know what to do. And we make it about ourselves instead of about what others need. And so I challenge you this month, when it comes to serving and what we do, just look at the people around you. Look at the people in your classroom, at your workplace, in your neighborhood, and think about, if you were in their shoes, what would you need? If there's somebody in your neighborhood who's having car trouble, if you were them, what would you need? Is there somebody you know who's having difficulty paying rent or has some food insecurity? If you were them, what would you want someone to do for you? You know, Jesus says something like this in Matthew. He says this in Matthew 7. Pretty famous words, Matthew 7, 12. You might not even know that Jesus was where these words originated. Matthew 7, 12, do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. This is the essence of all that is taught in the law and the prophets. Look, do you know someone who's lonely? Do you know someone who's sick, who's having legal trouble, who's in prison? If you were that person, what would you need? What would you want? We need to step out of our own inhibitions, our own restrictions, the things that hold us back, and step into the lives of others and make a difference in Jesus' name, because serving is not about us. So let's not overcomplicate things here. Serving can be very simple, but it requires some empathy on our part. So that's the what. Just think about what others need. Think about what it would be like if you were them, and go and serve. And then as far as the why. And this is very important. Very important. So important, in fact, that Habakkuk is going to be preaching an entire sermon about this at the end of the month. It's important because, again, there are basically an unlimited number of needs in the Lansing area, and we all see them, right? But at the same time, there are also an unlimited number of resources and agencies and community groups and places that you can go and serve with. And so when it comes to serving as followers of Jesus, it's important that you and I understand just why we're doing this. We're not serving just to meet needs, although we're certainly meeting needs. And that's important. And we're not serving just to bring peace to neighborhoods, although that's part of what we're doing and it is important. And we're not serving to feel good about ourselves or our church. We're serving because we follow Jesus and his name must be made great in the Lansing area. And so when you go out, if all you're doing is filling a bowl of soup or cleaning a rain gutter or fixing someone's car, well, we live in a world of entropy, and that rain gutter is going to come down again someday. Your car is going to inevitably end up in a junkyard, and that stomach is going to be hungry again. And so if you're just doing something and then going on your way while patting yourself on the back or maybe promoting our church even, how's that making a lasting difference? But if you do those very same things, while proclaiming the name of Jesus and telling others about his love for them, well, then you're part of a solution that has lasting implications perhaps eternal implications, and you're glorifying your God. We as the people of God, we serve in many of the same ways that others serve, but we do it for very different reasons. And we recognize that ultimately serving is not about us. And so as we go out this month serving in the name of Jesus, and that's when we're at our best, serving to glorify Him. That's when our church is at its best, serving to make a difference because of the love that Jesus has shown for us and the love that we can then show for others in His name. As we wrap up this morning, I want to flip one page back from Matthew 7 and read you this. Matthew 6, verse 1, Jesus has some more words for us. He says this, "Watch out! Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven. When you give to someone in need, don't do as the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogues and the streets to call attention to their acts of charity. I tell you the truth, they've received all the reward they will ever get. But when you give to someone in need, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Give your gifts in private, and your Father, who sees everything, will reward you." Church, watch out. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others. We've got an incredible month ahead of us. So many opportunities to serve. But don't make it about you. Serving is not about you. It's about responding to what God has done for us. Would you pray with me? God, you know our hearts, and you know how we all have the capacity to twist what we do, to behave and act in certain ways, to be seen by others, and to work to embellish our own reputations and to make our names great. And that's not what we want this month. Father God, we want to glorify you. Jesus, we want to follow your example. Spirit, we need you to move in us and motivate us to serve in the name of Jesus instead of in the name of South Lansing Christian Church or in our own names. God, help us to be a people who make a difference, but who make a difference for the right reasons. God, call to our attention, even today, things in our lives, in our homes, in our neighborhoods that need attention, and motivate us to make a difference, to be those good neighbors. Jesus, you've shown us the way in serving us, in serving your disciples. We want to follow your example, so that's our prayer. That's our prayer today. That's our prayer this month. And it's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. All right, we get a chance to respond right now. We respond in worship as we give in a few minutes, as we sing some songs together. And as we share in the Lord's Supper, this reminds us, this is this practice that Christians have been doing for generations. And here we gather at the tables and we take this juice and this bread, the juice reminding us that Jesus' blood was shed for you and me, and the bread reminding us that his body was broken for us so that we can be right with God. It's just like we read in Philippians 2. Jesus humbled himself so that you and I could be right with God. And so as we sing together, as we worship this morning, I'd encourage you to come gather at the tables with us and to celebrate what Jesus has done for you. And now would you stand and join us in worship?